Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to another edition of TXHT, Serious Hockey Talk for Serious Hockey Fans, where we're talking Disney movies once again, as Russell Hartman and I are talking about D2, the Mighty Ducks. Hey, Russ.
What's up, Mike?
Yeah, we probably should have started recording like 2 hours ago, but we've been shooting the breeze on the ESPN deal and then went on to an even longer conversation about professional wrestling, which probably could be another podcast. But so let's actually start with that real quick before we actually go into the Mighty Ducks movie, the second one, because it's a big topic for this week. Tuesday night, Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Hockey Night in Canada, broke the news that ESPN and NHL had agreed to a 7-year deal. And then this Wednesday, because we actually are recording on a Wednesday, but we're releasing this on Saturday, like we normally do, they announced the deal. And some of the key things that come out of the deal, as I scroll through my Twitter feed again to find it, is it's a 7-year deal with the Walt Disney Company, who owns ESPN, ESPN, and the National Hockey League. It's a 7-year television, streaming, and media rights deal. You have exclusive coverage of Stanley Cup Final on ABC in 4 of the 7 years, 4 of them. Half of Stanley Cup playoffs on ABC and ESPN each season. 25 exclusive national television regular season games on ABC or ESPN. 75 national regular season games will stream exclusively on both ESPN Plus and Hulu, which just get the premium Disney Plus package, which is like $20 a month. It's worth it that way. And then out of market streaming package, formerly NHL.tv, available only as a part of an ESPN Plus subscription. So that's the big thing. One of the other notes here is that, as I find the tweet, Sean Shapiro, of The Athletic reported that been told that annually ESPN will pay more than $400 million to the NHL as part of this deal. And also been told a weekly national Thursday night NHL broadcast is part of the plans for ESPN, which is crucial to this whole thing, because when you actually look at it, there's going to be a second broadcast partner. It's most likely going to be NBC. And which means Wednesday nights, you're going to have on USA Network, which is an NBC-owned network, you're going to have Wednesday night hockey there. And then you're going to have Thursday night hockey on, you know, ESPN. Mm-hmm. Sundays would probably still be NBC, would be your NBC game of the week, which would bring the NHL to maybe, say, Saturday. Like a Saturday afternoon game or something like that for ESPN. So it's not a bad deal. And then something that Chris Johnson noted, the NHL still has a second broadcast deal to negotiate, finalize, which include 3 Stanley Cup finals, plus another deal with a streaming partner, which easily can also go with NBC because of Peacock. So ultimately be a lucrative package when combined with the $2.8 billion coming from ESPN. Real quick, because this is Serious Hockey Talk, we haven't really do this that often anymore. what are your thoughts on the ESPN deal with the NHL and the prospect that NBC could still be the second partner?
The more eyes on the National Hockey League, the better. We're talking about, you know, when people talk about the big four sports in North America, you're talking about the NFL, you're talking about Major League Baseball, National Basketball Association, and the National Hockey League. Now, the problem is the National Hockey League is always seemingly way behind the other three in marketing, in just getting eyes on the sport. And another thing is salaries for the players, but that is a complete story for another time. The biggest thing for me is that ESPN, despite what a lot of people might think about them and how they focus on maybe like LeBron or whatever too much, that's not the thing here. The thing is that ESPN is one of the biggest sports broadcasting companies in the entire world, and they're backed by that big fat Disney money, right? So you're getting, you're ultimately, no matter what you think of this deal, what you think of ESPN, you are going to get more eyes on the NHL than there have been in years. Years. Number one, ABC, everyone has ABC. And the fact that ABC is going to get four Stanley Cup finals is incredible outreach for the game of hockey in general. You know, the NHL in, for the past few years is all about growing the game, including more people in the game, getting more people to watch the game, involved in the game. This is how you do it with deals like this. And you know what? If this reported deal with the numbers is true, ESPN is paying more than double what NBC did to get the rights to show NHL games. Now, this is all good things. But what ESPN has to do and what the NHL has to make sure they do here is not have the same old heads talking about the NHL and ESPN. Because personally, if my introduction to the NHL was seeing Barry Melrose talk about just rambling nonsense every week, I would not care. And that's what ESPN does now.
You have let's be honest here. If they do, what's it called? If they do, Barry Melrose, it's just going to be the equivalent of EJ Raddick, who's completely useless on NHL Network.
No one will care if it's just Melrose. Look, you know, if you have a real opportunity, if you're the NHL here, a big opportunity here, get like Kevin Weeks, amazing broadcaster, get him onto ESPN, let him have a segment there. You know, you have great hockey writers on the site too. Get Wyshynski on ESPN. Get Emily Kaplan on ESPN. Let them talk hockey. Let them do the thing they love to talk about. And if you want to branch out, look, get like, you know what? Patrick Sharp has made himself into a great commentator. He knows what he's talking about. Get someone like that. Get players who know the game. Ryan Callahan. I did not see him being a great commentator, but the guy is great in studio. You know, get personalities that people will care about. John Buchigross, as we were talking about before, Mike, he hosted NHL Tonight back then. You know, get him. Like, he has a great Twitter presence with his whole college hockey thing. Get him onto these ESPN NHL shows. Because I'm telling you right now, if it's Barry Melrose and, like, all these old dudes, no one will care. Get up-and-coming people to come on to your NHL show. Look at these guys that write for The Athletic. See if you can implement some of them, like Domus Decision. Get, you know, Sarah Sivian. Get all these people that, you know, have a following, that care about the game, that young people follow. You want to get viewership up on the NHL? Get people that aren't boring to listen to, that know what they're talking about, that will make hockey fun and interesting to watch. And my last point about it, please do whatever you can to get Gary Thorne back, because Gary Thorne calling like McDavid goals and McKinnon highlights and Austin Matthews snipes, dude, that's what it's all about.
Hi, my name is Michael Lindenbaum, and I am available. His name is Russell Hartman, and he is also available if ESPN is listening. But my point, my one thing that we are talking about is that the thing that worries me is the way the last deal with ESPN ended, where they canceled NHL Tonight a few years before the contract ended. The coverage of the NHL just wasn't there anymore for the last few years of the previous deal that they had. And it's like, you need to make sure that you fulfill a full 7 years worth of coverage and actually truly cover the league, not just go, well, here's some highlights, all right, basketball, all right, football, all right, you know, baseball. It's like, you just can't bury it like you did the last time.
And I don't think they will, because of how much they paid to get it, how much they're already promoting it everywhere on all the social media channels. And you know what, the ESPN will be better for the fact, and the sports world will be better when the NHL is getting more attention than the attention it deserves. So the NHL and ESPN have a real opportunity here. You want to grow the sport, do it right now. Do it right and, you know, get the right people and let's see the NHL blossom even more than it already has.
Yeah, and the other thing is that bring back the music. The ESPN NHL theme. I know they're using it the whole promote the announcement, but that is legitimately not the official music of ESPN NHL on ESPN. Riot, baby, riot. Yeah. Yeah, but But anyways, we're going to move on from that. That was obviously like one of the biggest news of the week. And we really needed to talk about it. We needed to touch base on that because it was just the fact that, you know, and not only the fact, but like NHL.tv is going to be gone after this season.
Thank God.
But we'll still have NHL Center Ice. So I'll still be able to watch Hockey Night in Canada, which makes me happy. Because I love watching Hockey Night in Canada. But we just needed to touch base on that real quick. So thanks for bearing with us. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about D2, the Mighty Ducks, which apparently came out, a month after you were born or something like that?
I was alive for a month and a few days for this one. I was on Earth when this movie came out.
Whereas the other one came out, the day after my birthday. I was, six. But D2, the Mighty Ducks. So we actually start off with Gordon Bombay playing in a minor league game. And they're talking up about how good he's been and that he's one step away from making it to the NHL. And then he kind of gets pinned and then he has a really bad, he gets crunched to have a really bad knee injury, you know, because that's what we do. We hurt good players, but also plot convenience. So Gordon returns to Minnesota. Hans picks him up. And next thing you know, Hendrix Hockey is now sponsoring the Ducks, and they're going to play in the Junior Goodwill Games in Los Angeles. And they're adding a couple of players, as I close out the window that had IMDb up. So I'm a doofus. We'll just do that and then we'll just cheat the Mighty Ducks. No, I want D2. That'll be faster if it wants to work. Anyways, they get new players. They get there we go. Thank you. This came out March 25th, 1994. I was 7. God, I feel old. So we get introduced to, where is it? There we go. We get introduced to Luis, Ken, Portman, Dwayne, and Julie the Cat. They're the new additions to the team. We get Charlie, Fulton, Goldberg, Averman, Jesse, Gee, Connie, and Banks back. So we have the main core back. And then a little later on, we get introduced to Russ, who's played by Kenan Thompson.
Which was a great, I forgot Kenan Thompson was in it, and I saw him in the stands, and I was like, oh, yeah. That was a great moment. But for me, man, I'm a Mendoza stan. That guy is awesome. I love the fact that he can't stop, because when I played roller hockey, that was literally me for, the first few months, where I could go fast, but I was literally, gliding into walls or, going backwards to try to stop. So I saw a lot of my young hockey career in Mr. Mendoza, and I loved his addition.
Yeah. But not only that, but it also, you know, we talked about last week, it also brings a lot more diversity. So, you know, you add you lose a woman, you gain a woman in Julie. Mm-hmm. You added Portman, although to be honest with Portman, I think he's just kind of like a white dude, but he's also kind of like the introduction of the enforcer in this series.
You could argue Fulton Reed was really the introduction to the enforcer.
Yeah, but Fulton wasn't actually a goon on the ice in the first film. He was strictly bombing slap shots. That was his gimmick. It wasn't until Portman came in that he kind of started gooning it up a little bit. Dwayne, you ended up getting a cowboy. So you get a little Southern boy in there. And then
the best penalty in all of hockey is the rodeo.
2 minutes for roping. And then you get Luis, which is Hispanic, and then you get Ken, who's Asian. So you actually add in more diversity. And obviously later on you bring in Russ, you know, bringing another Black player onto the team. So you really build up more diversity on Absolutely. The Ducks.
And say what you want about like D2 and D3, but the Mighty Ducks series in general, like, again, we talked about this last week when we were talking about the first movie, the fact that they're so inclusive and there's so many different kids, different heights, different nationalities, different sizes is a really, really good thing for kids to see that want to play the sport or just want to get interested in hockey in general to see, hey, you know, we're kind of going through this right now. If I could bring in WWE real quick, that Bobby Lashley is now the WWE champion. It is important to have representation in media, in sports, in anything, so people can see themselves in these characters and want to get involved. So throughout these movies, one of my favorite things revisiting them is seeing how much inclusion they had, because I didn't really remember how much until I saw them again. And the fact that you bring in a Spanish player, you bring in an Asian player, you bring in another woman character for this, it's so good that they're doing that. And they're all characters that play an important role as the movie goes on.
Yeah. And it's good for just overall development. So anyways, they're now Team USA. They're not the Ducks anymore.
Or are they?
They're Team USA. I'm not going to lie, you know, watching the movie again, because I watched it before we recorded, and I forgot how banging those USA jerseys were.
You know, I was saying the same thing, and I was like, I wonder if I could find that somewhere.
You know what? Let me take a look real quick, you know, yeah. Because this is what we do on this show. We just browse the internet.
We use
like losers. All right, there we go. Cool. So I'm on madbrothers.com because that's actually where I got my Mighty Ducks jersey, my D5 Ducks jersey.
Yeah.
So let me take a look at Mad Brothers. So the only jerseys that you can get are a Mighty Ducks blank back, a Mighty Ducks, and these are D5, by the way. D5 blank back, D5 Mighty Ducks player from the film, or D5 Ducks, your name and number. And of course, I have the your name and number on mine. And of course, they have a bunch of slap shot, you know, and stuff like that. So,
right.
So, yeah, it looks like you can't get it there, which is a little disappointing, but, you know, it is what it is. Yeah, that'd be cool to actually get the D2 USA. You know, you're talking about the movie real quick while I do this.
Okay, so one of the things I want to say about this movie, and I guess the Mighty Ducks movies in general, and by the way, I've never seen D3, so I'm going to watch D3 for the first time before we do the pod next week, but the officiating in these movies cracks me up. And I know it's a movie, it's the way the script is written, and I get that, and I'm not bashing it because of that, but it is so funny to me how dudes are getting just cross-checked and interfered and smushed and like pulled with ropes and like it's, and the refs are so selective of what they're calling. And it's probably one of my favorite parts of this movie, of this underlying joke that the officiating is just garbage.
Yeah, that looks like a penalty. Sure, we'll call that.
Yeah, and I love it. And number two, another great part was you have Chris Chelios, Luke Robitaille, and Cam Neely in this movie. And they all say like one thing.
Well, you also had Wayne. Don't forget, you also had Wayne Gretzky.
I was getting to that. But it's funny because you have these three guys, and I kind of wish they had a little bit more to say than when you bring them in. And Wayne Gretzky, number one, this was the funniest thing, because I was watching this with my girlfriend, and I was like, oh, here's Wayne. He's probably gonna give them like a speech or like say something nice to them. But like Wayne Gretzky comes into the room. They're like, Bombay's like, yeah, I got a surprise for you guys. Wayne Gretzky comes in, like, oh my God, it's a great one. He's like, yeah, you can just call me Wayne. And then they take a picture, and that's it. And I was like, you know, you have the greatest hockey player in the world in your big Hollywood movie. You would think you want him to do a little bit more, at least to kind of like do something to get more eyes on the NHL. But I kind of get it. Like, I'm sure he was, you know, he couldn't dedicate as much time to it, obviously, you know, during the hockey season, whatever. But I just kind of wish a little more was done with the NHL legends that were in the movie. But I'm sure logistically it might have been tough to work out.
Yeah. So I found It's not the greatest, but I did find a Charlie Conway where it does say, yeah, where it does say the Hendrix on the sleeve.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think the star is right. so like, whatever. I'm trying to find a good, okay, there we go. Oh, no, actually it is pretty accurate. So no, it is pretty good. It's hard trying to find it with the Hendrix on the sleeve, and you really can't find it. Oh, there we go. We can just go to DH Gate in China. I'm not going to lie. DH Gate, you can get some pretty good stuff if you go to the right one. All right. I'll save that for later. I'll send it to you. So if you want to look into getting a D2 Ducks jersey.
For sure.
The only thing I would do is I want a blank back. I wouldn't want one with one of the players on it. So, but anyways, so we go to Los Angeles. We're now in Los Angeles. The teams are they're getting ready to play their first game. And I have to say, why did the first game have to be against Trinidad Tobago? Because they wrecked them 9-2. And I'm like, I'm all for the representation, but did you have to like flat out wreck the team?
And did you really need to give them like the goal celebration with the steel drum and everything? Like,
well, no. That's not a problem because that's showing their culture. I like the fact that they're showing their culture and using that as a way to celebrate a goal.
I do too, but at the same time, you don't want it to be at the point where it feels like it's forced. And I hope it didn't come off that way to some people because, again, like you said, representation is good, but you don't want it to seem like you're trying to shoehorn something in.
Oh yeah, definitely. You don't want to like shoehorn it, but at the same time, like the celebration stuff didn't bother me. I thought that was really cool. I thought it was creative. I thought it was a great way to, I thought it was a great way to show their culture of especially of celebrating. The thing that bothered me is like I thought it was cool that they had the team, but I didn't like the fact that they were just getting squashed.
Sure. I must say the Trinidad and Tobago jerseys was pretty cool.
There's a reason why it's on the was on the movie poster and like on the DVD case and stuff like that, because it looked awesome. Even though they weren't the arch enemies of the film, that was the great powerhouse of Iceland.
Iceland, that's right. I don't know why I thought that. See,
I'm like, okay, hold on. When I think of powerhouses in hockey.
Well, you know it was supposed to be the Russians, right?
When I think of powerhouses in hockey, I don't think Iceland.
No, I don't.
I think like Sweden, Finland, Russia, you know, Slovakia, which I think at the time was still might have been Czechoslovakia at the time. So let's see here. So Ducks who did not return were Dave Karp, Peter Mark, Terry Hall, Tammy Duncan, and Tommy Duncan. They were the ones who did not return. And that's why we had the
replacement. The only thing that didn't make sense for me there was why would one brother continue and one just left out?
You could always go with the story that, you know, one brother wanted to continue playing while the other brother just kind of grew out of it, you know? He was like, you know, I like playing hockey, but, you know, I'm not openly into it as well. So let's see here. Iceland's uniforms are the same colors of the Hawks in the first Mighty Ducks movie.
What'd you say? I'm sorry.
The Iceland jerseys are essentially the same as the Hawks.
You wanted that to say Island? I thought Iceland's jerseys could have been cooler. I thought they were a little lazy.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't really see them as like a powerhouse. I mean, for story-wise, like for storyline-wise, yeah, it works because, you know, you had to have a big powerful team, but then at the same time, who does Iceland lose to? Russia. Because they're a powerhouse.
Or as they say, they got upset by Russia in the
which is like not realistic because Russia was a powerhouse. You know, if anything, Iceland should have been upset by, say, Trinidad Tobago.
Oh yeah.
You know, that would have made a lot more sense storyline wise. But yeah, no, I And also another thing is that they actually do their first game against Iceland, and Banks gets hurt because one of the Iceland players slashes his wrist. And, you know, that it doesn't play a it doesn't play a factor in the story right away until a little later when Bombay realizes, you know, oh, this is what's up. But the reason Bombay doesn't realize it, and this is a big part of the story, is, you know, in the first movie, it was about Bombay becoming more human. Right. Because he was like, win, 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 win at all costs. And like, there was no humanity to the man. There's no compassion. There's no empathy. You know, and by the time we got to the end of the film, you got empathy and compassion. You had a full turnaround for Bombay. Well, for this one, through Mr. Tibbles and Hendrix, they give Bombay this beautiful, you know, condo over on Malibu.
Yeah, that's a beautiful house they give.
And like, it's like, you take care of Hendrix, Hendrix will take care of you. And you'll be like, you know, like they have the parties, which you brought up, you know, Cam Neely, Luke Robitaille, Chris Chelios, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was there.
Yeah, you know? It was awesome. Christy Yamaguchi's there too.
But the thing is, though, is that like now Bombay is being thrusted into this high society and he gets a little over his head, you know, which becomes another part of the story there. He legitimately gets over his head on this thing. And he, you know, he loses the trust of the team again, and he has to earn it back. And after he earns the trust of the team back, that's when he learns that Banks is hurt, and he pulls Banks out of the lineup. But also at the same time, while all this is happening, the Ducks, Team USA, are trying to find their way because, you know, after that Iceland loss, they kind of felt out of sync. And it wasn't until Russ, who had been antagonizing poor Jesse.
Oh my God, that was hilarious.
But like, you know, Russ and his buddies challenged the team to roller hockey, which was really nice. And it was kind of funny when a puck got shot over, broke a guy's windshield, sets off the car alarm, and the guy just froze the puck back, like, here you go, guys. Yeah, like, nothing ever.
Yeah. The guy was like, I don't care. You just broke my windshield. It's probably going to cost me a little bit of money to, you know, put it together, but here's your puck back.
You know, a funny story about that. You know, a few years ago, like a decade ago at this point, I think. Yeah, almost a decade ago, I was playing in a street hockey league in Crystal City, which is like Arlington, Virginia. Really nice part. Crystal City is actually where they're putting that new Amazon headquarters. Just to give perspective there. And I was playing in a ball hockey league there, and we tried putting up these nets to try to prevent people from getting hit. And one just got kind of launched over and it hit a guy by accident. And we're all apologizing to the guy. We didn't get the Disney version. We got the guy throwing the ball into the freaking street down a sewer.
Yeah, again.
He's like, what happened in D2 does not happen in real life, people. You break the windshield, you're paying for the windshield, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I remember one time I was playing roller hockey in the park with my friends when we were younger, and like the bottom of the fence where we would shoot pucks at had like a little slit. So if you weren't careful and you ripped a shot, it would go like shooting through the slit through the street and like to like cars and people. So we're shooting at the fence, you know, of course someone winds up for a slapper right through the slit and it misses like someone's dog by like 5 inches. And everyone's like, oh my God. And everyone just starts like skating away and running away. I mean, it's great, but yeah, you can be sure the lady wasn't screaming at us like, here's the puck back. There were a lot of words said to us that I will not repeat.
Yeah, some non-PG friendly words. Yeah, exactly. But yeah, and that's the thing. Like, but it's a cool moment, yeah. Still, because it's other things where it's like, you know, like the one guy who I guess is Russ's brother. They never really clearly say what the relationship is.
I'm pretty sure he is.
I wouldn't be surprised if so, but they never really made it known.
Yeah.
But like he teaches Ken to fight, which is adorable. I thought it was great. And then, you know, like some of the other things, it's like, you drink some water, you get out there, you score a goal, then you come back, you drink some more water, and you come back out and you do it again. And it's like, it's like you have these like I don't want to call them inner city street kids, because that doesn't sound appropriate. But you have the local kids. I'm going to use that because it sounds nicer. Kind of ground the team and just get them back to basics. And I think, you know, and again, this is another thing where representation matters. It really does. And this is one where, you know, like the rich kid, Adam Banks, getting a lesson from like these kids
who
aren't as fortunate as him. And like same with Charlie. And it's like, it grounds them and it brings them back to reality, because like, I mean, let's be honest, they're kind of looking at it with stars because of the fact that we're in Los Angeles. You know, we've been selected to do this. We'll get to some of the absurdities. Like, they just won one championship and they're being selected to represent the country.
And also, the funniest thing about it is, let's just take most of these kids. You won one state title in Minnesota. We're just going to add these five kids. Here's Team USA. No. If that was actually happening, there would have been a countrywide
riot. Especially the fact that like there's like a U.S. national development program and all this other stuff. But like,
but you know what? Again, Hollywood movies.
Yeah,
this is what happens.
But it works out better because you get the diversity, you get the inclusiveness. But then not only that, but it also leads up, because of Banks' injury, it actually leads up to Russ joining the team, which is great. It works out. And then obviously you get to the final game with Iceland again in the finals. They're down like, what, 5-1?
Yeah, 4-1.
4-1. Yeah, it was 4-1 going into the second intermission. And Hans's brother,
Jan.
Yep.
Because Hans is visiting their mom.
In Norway. Jan comes in and goes like, "Nah, you guys are Ducks. Here, have the official Mighty Ducks of Anaheim jerseys." Oh, and by the way, we're also playing this game at Arrowhead Pond.
They just had them all with their names, not everything stitched. It was perfect. And I love that they use Arrowhead Pond, because that is such a cool shot when they first go out onto the ice in Arrowhead Pond. It's awesome. It's just a really cool moment for the series. And I think that was probably one of the first events they ever had at Arrowhead Pond.
Yeah, it actually, I think it was. Let me pull up the trivia again. Let's see here. So this is interesting. Throughout the film, Iceland is referred to as a powerhouse and led by their NHL veteran coach. However, Iceland has never produced an NHL player. Neither has Trinidad and Tobago. However, Italy has had 3 NHL players, and Germany has produced 33 as of 2020, including the current NHL MVP, Leon Draisaitl.
What's his name? The third overall pick was from Germany this year.
Yep. Let's see here. I'm trying to find it. It actually doesn't say. Let me look at something, because it actually doesn't say anything about. All right, let's look at filming locations. If my mouse wants to work. No, my mouse is working. It's just them. The website crashed. All right. We'll find out when the website's done crashing. But the other thing is that this is also during the inaugural season of the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, who debuted in the 93-94 season, along with the Florida Panthers. So it's actually very interesting to see. So it made sense to utilize Arrowhead Pond, and it also made sense to introduce those jerseys as well into the film, because, beautiful. Oh yeah, it's a great jersey. I actually have that one where the duck logo on the chest is actually screen printed on, because that was like the youth version.
Yeah.
But I do have the what's considered now home because they do the darks at home, which is stupid. I've always liked it when the whites were the home and the colors would come in. Like, I loved that as a kid, by the way. But yeah, so I have that one, like an actual NHL one, for that. I also have the Ducks reverse retro jersey. No reaction whatsoever from Russell on that one.
Wild Wing. We don't need Wild Wing flying on the jersey. Give me the classic, man.
Yeah. So yeah, Arrowhead Pond of Anaheim was in fact one of the legitimate filming locations. This is a nice one for me. Camp Snoopy from Peanuts, Mall of America was used for filming.
Again, love these mall scenes with them just rollerblading through everything. I wish that were possible. That would have been so cool.
Yeah, and just not getting arrested. Yeah. And they legitimately used Los Angeles Memorial Coliseum for the opening ceremonies.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. That is really cool. And then they used an iceplex over in North Hills, Los Angeles for, I guess, all the games and stuff.
I think I like this movie more than I thought I was going to. But the biggest thing for me was I wish that the goalie, Julie the Cat, I wish she got more playing time in this movie. I wish she was not, I mean, she has a big moment, obviously, in the film at the end, but I wish that her role was a little more than they gave her. Like, for me personally, we saw Goldberg win the title in the first movie. I would have liked to see them do something where maybe Goldberg goes down for half the title game, or, you know, and just
thing is, though, is that it wouldn't have worked with some of the other stuff that they did, because obviously they wanted to incorporate Russ with the knuckle puck shot, yeah. Which, let's be honest, realistically, that would never have worked in real life, especially from that freaking far.
No, because knuckle pucks are literally the worst thing when you're trying to shoot in any hockey game, because you don't know how the blank they're going to go. But like, for me, I just think it's hilarious that the knuckle puck was a secret shot, because no hockey player wants to see a knuckle puck on your stick. Like, you don't want that at all.
No. not at all. Not ever. But yeah, but that's the thing, though. Like, when we look at, like, they couldn't do that with Julie. They had to do that with Goldberg with the swap. Like, it wouldn't have worked. And which also, how do you get a goalie out of you? How do you switch goalie gear that quickly? Like, that's virtually impossible.
Oh, you're saying
like when
because they had to do the swap where Russ pretends to be Julie. Yes, I understand there. But for me, I don't know. I just that was my one thing. I just wish Julie had a little more screen time. I liked her character a lot. But
I think for this film, it was more of an introductory. It wasn't, and because not only that, but like, keep in mind, you added like five new characters. You added Russ, added Dwayne, you added Ken, you added Portman, you know, you added Luis. You had to make it where each of them got their own time. And like, one of the things that they do make is like, Julie, they do make a point to have Julie go, I want to play. I want to play. I want to play. And it's important to note that because of her coming to speak up, that's probably why she was given that opportunity to face the last shooter Gunner.
Yes.
So, and it's like, you have to look at the little things, but not only that, but when we get into D3, Julie does get a lot more focus. So that is a good thing. They do give more focus to Julie in the next film. So, but yeah, but anyways, the Ducks, the Mighty Ducks of the of America.
The Mighty Ducks of America.
There's a reason I said that. When they beat Iceland, one of the best lines of the film is when Wolf Stanson is telling Gunnar that he lost it for the team, and Gunnar's just like, you lost it for yourself.
Yep.
And it was like one of the best lines. And actually, the guy who plays Gunnar is a legit hockey enthusiast. So the actor who played Gunner is a legit hockey enthusiast, which is always cool.
That is cool, yeah.
But yeah, since this is like, I mean, I've watched it several times. I love the film. I think it's a good film. I think they do a better job of bringing more diversity, more inclusivity to the team and to the film itself. What did you think? Because like for you, this was a movie you don't really recall watching when you're younger, like I was, whereas like I was like 7 when this movie came out.
Well, for me, for my love of the game of hockey, I enjoy these films a lot. And, you know, it's a shame that they're not like as highly acclaimed as some other kids' movies are, like The Sandlot. But I still find, like, and I love The Sandlot too, but I still find the joy of the game in these movies. And at the heart of these movies is hockey. And I can honestly say they're fun movies. They're really fun. They're good watches. And at the end of the day, I mean, are they the best hockey movies? No, I mean, it's always that debate. What is the best hockey movie? To me, I'm on the side of Miracle. I think it doesn't get any better than Miracle representing hockey. People will get mad at me. And of course, I know I hear all the Slapshot people already in the distance. Already hear the angry mob forming about Slapshot. I get it.
Don't worry. If this keeps going well, we'll get to a Slapshot eventually.
Yeah, and I like Slapshot too. I mean, the Hanson brothers are awesome. But to me, Miracle is the pinnacle for hockey movies. I mean, it's just so well represented. But I love these movies. Are fun. They're cool to watch. D3 I've never seen, as I said before. So we're gonna get a brand new experience with D3 next week, as I'll be seeing it for the first time. But these are really cool. Again, the characters are all great. They're all funny. Like, and you know. The message of these movies, team over player, is always that is at the core of hockey. I feel like more than any of the other four big sports, team over player. It's always been that way. And you do whatever you can to help your team get the win. And the message that the Ducks movies brings is, you know, this inclusiveness, working together, working through your problems. And ultimately, when you get through them, good things happen.
Yep. So with that, thank you everyone for tuning in. Russ, where can the people find you on the social medias?
You can find me on Twitter at RussellHartman1. I post all my work there, all my tweets. I know not a lot of sports recently. I've been really pumping some Snyder Cut stuff, but we'll get back to sports soon, I promise.
All right. And then, of course, you can find me on Twitter at TheLindenBaum75, Facebook at Facebook.com/X75Productions. Twitch doing the video gaming thing, including with Russell on Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern time doing the NHL 21 World of Chell stuff.
I will say one more.
Shush thing. You real quick at twitch.tv/TheMichaelX75. And of course, everything is on the website at txhdhockey.com. Now you may proceed with what you're going to say.
Welcome back, Artemi Panarin. We missed you. I'm glad he's coming back to the Rangers and that hopefully everything is settled with his family. But I had to get it off because I forgot to say it in the beginning of the show. But welcome back, Artemi Panarin. We missed you.
And to all the Cavs fans out there, you know, want to know why Jacob Vrana's getting less ice time? It's because he's a one-dimensional player. And until next time, we will see you on the ice.